You're listening to the Sermon Podcast by Southside Baptist Church in Florence, South Carolina. We exist to know God and to make Jesus known. For more up-to-date information, check us out at southsidenow.church.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Southside Baptist Church. Once again, for those who don't know me, I'm Joshua Kerr. I'm the associate pastor here. I know many of you do know me. Many of you have heard me preach before, but I'm thankful for this opportunity Landon has given me to preach again today. So for those who are new and joining us, you may not be as familiar with me yet, but I just want to thank Landon for the opportunity to preach this morning. We figured we'd have some fun while Kip was out. While the worship leader's away, the pastors will play and have a little bit of fun. So we're gonna enjoy today. We're going to be continuing in our series on the seven letters in Revelation. In Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, with the letter to the church in Sardis. And Sardis is one of those that even as I prepare to preach today, there's a weight to it. Jesus isn't happy with Sardis and where Sardis is and what Sardis is going through. And so with that then, even this morning, one of my prayers is that Jesus would strengthen me as we go through this lesson together in the weightiness of this subject matter. Because the church of Sardis was a church that was asleep. It was a church that was full of sleepwalkers. Sardis was a church that was active. They were moving. They were doing stuff, but spiritually they were knocked out. So who here has seen someone sleepwalk before? I haven't seen that personally. I've seen that in like TV shows and all that sort of stuff. And you may even have seen someone sleep talk before. You know, you're there and they're out, they're knocked out, but their mouth is still moving and words are coming out. Their lips are moving, their legs are walking, but they're out like a light. See, the thing about sleepwalking is usually happens when someone is in a place of deep sleep. That person is out, but there's still motion going on. Well, the church of Sardis was a church of sleepwalkers. So let's look in Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, "He who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, 'I know your deeds, that you have a name that you are alive and yet you are dead. Be constantly alert and strengthen the things that remain which are about to die, for I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. So remember what you have received and heard and keep it and repent. Then if you are not alert, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. But you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. The one who overcomes will be clothed the same way, in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. The one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.'" Let's pray this morning. Lord, I pray this morning that you would teach us, that you would show us in your word what we need to see. Lord, help us to be doers of your word. Lord, this morning I pray that you would hide me behind the cross and that people would see you and not me. Lord, I pray that we would be drawn closer to you. And Lord, I pray that we would heed this reminder to be awake. Lord, we love you. And we thank you, and we thank you for what you're doing here at Southside. Be with us and teach us this morning. In Christ's name, amen. The first thing we see is the church asleep. Jesus begins by identifying himself. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, "He who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this." Jesus identifies himself as the one who has the seven spirits and the seven stars. Jesus begins by reminding the church at Sardis that the church is his. The church belongs to him. We see reference to this in Revelation 1:20. "As for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches." If a church is strong, it's because God's Spirit is there. If a church is strong, it's because God's Spirit is moving. If a church is dead, It's because his spirit has withdrawn from them. And Sardis is so out of it that they don't even realize that God isn't in their midst anymore. This is a reminder that the fullness of the church, every aspect of who we are, everything that we do, every ministry, every piece of us belongs to him. We are fully his. And a church is strong when the Spirit of God is there. And all through this passage, we're going to see reminders that the church needs to remember whose they are. As Landon said last week, the church is not just a gathering of people. It's not just some community group or function. The church doesn't belong to me. The church doesn't belong to Landon. It doesn't belong to Kip. It doesn't belong to you. The church is his. And oftentimes, churches lose their way when they forget whose they are. They forget they are for him. So we see in this text that there's a church, Sardis, that had an outward appearance of being alive. I know your deeds, that you have a name that you are alive, and yet you are dead. Sardis has a problem at their very core. The fire is fading, and it's close to being extinguished. Jesus says the next verse later, to strengthen what remains because it's become smoldering and it's almost out. And yet on the outside, they have the appearance of activity, the appearance of life, the appearance of doing things. You have a name that you are alive, but you are in fact almost completely dead. And Jesus says to wake up. Verse 2, be constantly alert. Some translations literally say wake up. Literally, this gets at the idea of being presently alert. Be awake now. Be on the lookout now. Be aware now. Jesus is alluding to something true historically in Sardis. Sardis was a militarily strong position. It was a position that had one major route into the city. It also had a strong rock formation at its back. And then there was also a fortified position there as well. So it was a strong defensive city. To the average citizen of Sardis, the thought was, we are safe here. We are strong. Nothing can touch us here. And yet twice in the city's history, it fell. And you want to know why it fell? The watchman fell asleep. Cyrus in the 6th century and Antiochus about 200 to 300 years later, both were able to seize the city because of mistakes the watchman made, and them coming into the city at night, them able to sneak into the city, and then they were overrun. Jesus is saying, church, wake up. Be on guard, be alert, and if you're not, you will fall. And all the while, the serpent is whispering, go back to sleep. Close your eyes and good night. The church at Sardis had become so comatose that Satan's tactic was a little bit different than the other churches. Against Sardis, he didn't do attack, he didn't do persecution. Satan's tactic against the church at Sardis was the lullaby. The church grew complacent. It longed for the years gone by. And in becoming complacent, they became apathetic, they became slothful, and they began to look like the culture around them, so much that the culture around them wasn't offended by them anymore. The Expositor's Bible Commentary says this, wake up. It's a call to reverse their attitudes radically. Their complacency led them to give up their identification with Christ and their mission for him. The situation was dire, but not totally helpless. They needed to strengthen what remained, and we see that reminder that the quality of their deeds did not meet Christ's standards. So as we talk about this morning, as we look at this, I want us to look at ways that churches can fall asleep. Let me say that another way. Here are ways that churches die slowly. The first one is complacency. defined as self-satisfaction, especially when accompanied by an unawareness of actual danger or deficiency. When it comes to safety, complacency can be dangerous. And it's also an instance of usually unaware or uninformed self-satisfaction. So the idea, just like the Sardinians had, of we are safe here, we're untouchable, we're okay, all the while unaware of the danger that lay outside the walls. Complacency was something that the church at Sardis was familiar with. And what that looked like was death. Look at us. Look at how good we're doing. Nothing can touch us, and then the city is overtaken. Complacency can lead to death. Secondly, then, apathy. Apathy, lack of interest, enthusiasm, or concern. Apathy to the things of God and the mission he has given us is always an indicator of coming death. The flame starts to flicker, and the passion goes out, and the church falls asleep, and God's Spirit is no longer moving, and they don't even realize it anymore because they're out like a light. Apathy towards the mission, apathy towards the Great Commission, apathy towards holiness, apathy towards Jesus are always indicators of a dying church. And this is me right now speaking in this moment. But one reason I believe that God is blessing us at Southside right now, one reason I believe that God is blessing us and showing his favor on us, is there has been a reinvigorating of God's people on a clear vision on God's mission. And God's Spirit is here. God's Spirit is moving right now. But the warning for us is to beware of complacency. Beware of being apathetic towards the things of God. Because when you fall asleep, the Holy Spirit could not be present anymore, and we not even be aware. And that thought scares me like none other. The fact that we could be so busy, that we could be so active, and God's presence not even be on us anymore. That's terrifying. Another way that churches die is by being comfortable. As I think about being comfortable, I'm reminded of something kind of funny. So don't go too far with this. I'm going to pick on my wife for a second. That happens sometimes, you know, personal illustrations. When we first started dating in that dating life, there was times where we had to travel in order to be together, all that sort of stuff. I was distant at college and she was back in Kingsport, so I would travel in for us to be together. And with those then, there would come times where we would want to go do something. I would want to go do something. I would want to go on like a date or whatever. And she would be comfortable at the house. So she would be there with her parents or her godparents. I'd be like, let's go do something. And she'd be like, I'm comfortable. And so with that then, it would be like, you know, let's go eat, get off the couch. I'm comfortable. Now that's kind of shifted. Now she's at home with the girls all the time and I'm the one working. And so when I come home, she's like, let's go do something. And I'm like, I'm comfortable. Okay. And so with that then, I know that's funny, but here's the thing for us is that we can oftentimes do the same thing towards Jesus. Jesus is saying, get up. Let's go on mission together. Come on, get off the metaphorical couch. Let's get up and be active. And as churches, too often we can be prone to answer back, I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable where we are. I'm comfortable with our rhythms and our routines. We're comfortable and I don't want to change, even if that change is exactly what Jesus is calling us to. So beware of being comfortable. Fourthly, then, we see busyness. One of the biggest ways that the church can sleepwalk nowadays, and specifically in American society, is just by being busy. Excuse me. Throat's getting dry. I'm preaching. Excuse me there. Just by being busy. We're doing so much, and there is so much competing for our attention that gradually and slowly, as our focus is on so many other things, our focus is on work, our focus is on family, our focus is on school, our focus is on all the extra stuff we're doing. We get so busy in our lives and the attention shifts from him to self. I say, I want to serve Jesus, but I'm just too busy right now. Even from a ministry aspect, this is a danger. that we would be so busy in doing the things of the church and being active in the church and all the while be sleepwalking, be comatose, just be so busy in the things of the church that you don't even realize that something has shifted. So as we apply this morning, the application is this: wake up. Before it's too late, wake up, be alert, pay attention. Don't miss Jesus because you're asleep spiritually. As we look at this then, and we apply this more, we can combat complacency. Don't settle. Don't reach the place where you say, we've made it. I'm okay now. We can always continue growing. We can always continue pursuing Him. We can always continue to disciple others, to evangelize. We can always seek to be better. Never reach that place of self-satisfaction to say, I'm okay. I've made it. Because in that place is the moment of danger. So don't settle. Secondly, then, one of the things that Sardis also dealt with is that they were bound by the past. They were looking for the years gone by. The years when there was more authority, when the years when there was more political notoriety. Don't be bound by the past. Remember, yes. Celebrate what God has done, yes. But the past has not been given to you. The present has. So live in the present. Remember and honor the past, but don't be bound by it as we look to Christ together. Combating apathy. Combating apathy. Care. Care about others. Care about the mission. Move. Act. And if you're reaching a place of apathy, if you're reaching a place where you stop caring, repent. And pray for His heart. Pray for the things that He loves would be the things that you love. The things that He cares about would be the things that you care about. And then combating comfort. Get out of your comfort zone. Pray that God would lead you into something new. Push aside the metaphorical recliner and pillow and be willing to follow God, even though it means that that would maybe lead you to a place that's not comfortable. Combating busyness. Be intentional with your time. God has given you a limited amount of time. There are a limited amount of seconds and days and weeks in your life. Be intentional how you use that time for His glory and His mission. Make the most out of the time that He has given to you. Don't lose sight of eternity. You could potentially spend so much of your life chasing after things that have no importance, no value in the grand scheme of eternity. You could chase and spend all that time on all these things that don't really matter in the end. Pursue what matters. Steward what God has given you and steward it well. Prioritize Jesus. Point number two then. So we see what a church looks like asleep. And then this is what Jesus tells them to do in order to wake up. Verse 3, so remember what you have received and heard and keep it and repent. Then if you are not alert, I will come like a thief and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. Remember. Remember whose you are. Remember you belong to Jesus. Remember the mission. God has given us all a limited amount of time with a task and a mission and a purpose that He has set before us. Remember. Remember what you've learned. Remember what you've been taught. Remember how you've been discipled. Watchmen, remember your duty and your purpose and wake up. And then He says to keep it. So not only remember it, but then to do it. Guard it. Put into practice what we preach, what we proclaim, what we believe. We not only hold internally, but we do. We aren't just hearers of the word, but doers. We must move from passivity to activity in what we believe in our faith being applied in our practice. We must do. And it's so much easier to say and so much harder to actually apply, especially with the enemy the entire time singing in our ear, go back to sleep. Get up. Get active. Push off being a passive Christian. There is no such thing. There is death and there is life. Repent. That means to turn from what you're doing, to turn from the way you were going and go a different direction, to turn from what you're passive in and to go another way, to repent of our apathy and our complacency and to pursue Jesus actively. And as I think about this, I think of that idea of waking up from a bad dream. Who here has had a nightmare where you wake up and for a moment you're like, oh, thank goodness, I'm in my bed, right? You know, you're not in that scary place in your nightmare. And even having being a parent and having kids, one of the things they do when the kids wake up with nightmares is that they often will come looking for us in the night. So they'll get out of their beds, they'll come to our room, and they want to be with mom and dad. They realize that's a place of safety, so they come to mom and dad. Likewise, for churches and Christians spiritually, those who are sleepwalking, they need to wake up to realize whose you are, to realize who you belong to, and then to run to the Father. If you're a Christian here this morning and you're dealing with apathy, you just don't care like you should. You're dealing with complacency. You're dealing with all those different things of being comfortable. Remember who you are. Remember the mission you've been given. Practice what you believe and run to the Father. One of the things I think of when I think about this is the difference in vision and the lack of vision. One of the major differences in being awake and in being asleep is your awareness. One thing I've learned in ministry is without vision, the people perish. As a community, as a body of believers together, we must lock our eyes on Jesus and be a part of his mission. And the moment where we lose our focus, the moment where we lose our vision, the moment where we take our eyes off of him is the moment where we've already started to decline and we've already started to get sleepy. And Jesus says something scary here. And I will come like a thief in the night. This is not speaking of his return, but just as the city was conquered twice at nighttime by soldiers slipping through the gaps, Jesus is saying, if you don't fix this Sardis, not only have you not realized I'm not in your midst anymore, but that I am actually opposed to you. I am coming up against you. And just as you were conquered twice by being asleep and in the nighttime, you will find that it's too late. You will be in opposition to me, and I will be inside your walls. You, Church of Sardis, will find yourself facing against the Lord. And just as the city was conquered before, his judgment will be upon you, and it will be too late. That's a scary place to be for any church, to not only be so busy and active, and to not only have fallen asleep, to where the Spirit's not moving anymore, the Spirit's presence isn't there, but to where you would actually be in a church that Jesus would be opposed to. That's a scary thing and a warning for all of us. But we see that it doesn't end there. Praise the Lord that the passage doesn't end right there. But verse 4, we see the point 3, clothed in white. But you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments. And they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. The one who overcomes will be clothed the same way in white garments. And I will not erase his name from the book of life. And I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. The one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. A little bit more historical context here. Sardis was also a place known for its wool industry. There was a lot happening in the city culturally with clothes and clean clothes and how you were viewed with clean clothes. Dirty clothes were looked down upon. And Jesus says you will be clothed in white. A reminder to them and to us of holiness and being clothed in his righteousness, clothed in his purity. For those who overcome, we will be clothed in his righteousness. So when the Father looks at us, he sees the holiness of his Son. That is a promise for us. But we also see this promise of eternal life. Your name will never be erased. Sardis had a tradition of having someone's name while they were alive in the city records. And then when someone died, their name would be stricken from the record. Jesus is saying, for those who overcome, your name will never be removed. You will have eternal life, and your name is safe in the Lamb's book of life. That person's name will be known by the Son, known by the Father, and known by the angels. Church, today as we apply this, remember whose you are. You are a son, you are a daughter of the King. Remember, you belong to Him. What you do with your time, what you do with your life, it matters. Remember, you are on mission for Him. And today, He is calling us to wake up, to put away apathy, that lack of caring, to put away comfort, that we would get up off the spiritual couch and be willing to follow Him, even if it's uncomfortable, to put away complacency, and to pursue Him wide awake. But we also see this, a promise that won't fade. For those who belong to Him, there is a promise in whatever we face, and the obstacles that we have to overcome, that there is a reality of eternal life, and knowing and being known by Him, that Jesus knows you, and you know Him. Today, church family, God is calling us to move, to rise, to get up, and to continue following Him. This is a reminder this morning for us to keep our focus, for us to have clear vision, for us to be active on mission. And today, the invitation is simply this. Wherever you are and whatever you're dealing with in life, to wake up. To those who've grown apathetic, to repent and pray that you would love as He loves. To the comfortable, that God would move you from your comfort zone and that you would obey. To those struggling with sin, that you would no longer play around with it, but that you would repent and actively come to Christ. Today, and however the Spirit is moving in your life, it's a call to obey, and it's a call to act. Landon and I will be up front, available if anyone needs to talk this morning. Landon's going to lead us in a song, but we'll both be here if you need to speak to us. And the invitation this morning, as the altar will be open, is don't be complacent. Obey the Spirit. All of us came in here with a story. All of us came in here with something going on in our life. Whatever God would have you to do, obey. Listen to Him this morning and wherever He's leading you.